can be dismissed. Team's going to take them out, and you'll be having a children's church. And the rest of us, looking at Romans chapter 8, you're probably familiar already with the book of Romans and how it unfolds. In the first few chapters, Paul demonstrates that we all stand before God and that we're all condemned. We're all standing before God in trouble. That God looks at us in all of His holiness, and He's aware of our sin. But then in chapters 4 through chapter 7, Paul is developing the reality that there is also a solution. There is an answer to the sin problem. And that comes to conclusion here in Romans 8, verse 1, where Paul writes this: "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." The phrase I want to focus on for a few moments tonight is the first phrase of verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And I just want to walk through the verse looking at each one of the elements. I want to conclude by seeing how that relates to what comes just before. And I think as we look at this verse together, we'll see God's message for us here. A message of encouragement and also a message to rejoice in what He's done. First thing that's very apparent in the verse is the word therefore. There is therefore now no condemnation. And anywhere where you see the word therefore, you know that it's pointing backwards to something. So Paul's been developing an argument. He's been building something up. And now here it comes. There is therefore no condemnation. And he's pointing backwards, as I said, to this truth starting at the beginning. That as we stand before God, we've got a problem. Sometimes people will think of God as just the person who He just forgives. That's His business. And so I fail and God forgives, and that's just what He's in the business of doing. And it's a done deal. It's that simple. But do we realize that it's a lot more complex than that? I think one of the ways to think of it would be if you imagine maybe a catastrophe coming into your life. Imagine a person very close to you, and through someone else's actions, someone comes and they take the life of your family member. Now, the person who did it then is caught. The evidence is mounted up against them. Now you're in a courtroom, and there's the person over there. There's the person that took the life of the one you love. And here's the courtroom. And the evidence is laid out, and it's just very clear this person's guilty. I mean, very evident to everybody. And eventually it comes to a conclusion, and the judge says, you know, I think it's been demonstrated effectively this guy did it. It's been effectively demonstrated what happened here, and we all know what the sentence should be. But I'm a nice guy, and so I've just decided to pardon him just because. So he's not guilty. I know he did it, but he's not guilty, so case closed, and that's the end. And the question then is this a just courtroom? Well, no. I mean, this is your family member that died, and this person here committed the crime. Justice has to be carried out. Every time you and I sin against God, we deny Him, we turn against Him, the infinite God. Can God be a just judge and say, okay, I just won't hold it against you? I mean, if we did it, if we sinned against Him, we're guilty. And if God is going to be a just judge, if He's going to be righteous Himself, He cannot look at the unrighteous and say that they're righteous. It would be a lie. So how then do we relate to God? And you know this truth, chapters 4 through chapter 7. This truth that God could set aside our sin and instead regard us righteous because of His Son. Now that points to later on in the verse. The last part of the verse says, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And I think we're used to that language. Paul uses the language of being in Christ or in Christ Jesus constantly throughout his epistles. But sometimes I think I tend to forget all the significance that's there. When you got married, a lot of the people sitting here would be married. When you got married, then your identity shifted. I mean, before that, it was just you, and that's basically you were responsible for you. And then you got married, and now two people became one person. Okay, so even in terms of your legal status, suddenly you could start filing taxes jointly because you'd been married. And we know spiritually, all through the New Testament, that this concept that when people get married, two become one. And as God's concerned, these people are joined. And in fact, that is intended as an illustration. Ephesians chapter 5, that the husband and wife are supposed to represent something about Christ and his church. Here's the beautiful truth. When you and I, if you have trusted in Christ, when you and I trusted in Christ, we were joined with him. And what that meant was that our relationship with Christ was so tight, so close. Our identity is bound up in his. And when God looks at me, he sees Christ. When God sees me, he thinks of Christ's righteousness and his holiness before him. So that my problem of sin and condemnation and guilt before God is no longer a problem. I'm united with a person who stands perfectly righteous before God. And God can relate to me in the same way he relates to his son. God can relate to me in the same way he relates to his son. And the result then is these words right in the middle of the verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Anyone in the category of those in Christ Jesus is free. I mean, if we're back to the courtroom again, and the problem of a judge saying guilty or not guilty, the answer of this verse is that there's no condemnation at all. Nothing. It's taken care of. It's dealt with. It's finished. It's over. We're clean. And the last thing I want to consider tonight is what comes before, basically the context for this statement. In chapter 3, Paul picks up this problem. You're familiar with these verses, where he talks about the sinfulness of humanity. I mean, chapter 3, verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. And all of this builds up to show us people have a problem. But verse 21, now the righteousness of God without the law, apart from the law, is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. In chapter 7, Paul talks about his own personal experience of this. Where Paul says, you know, there was a time when I felt pretty good about myself. I thought, well, I'm a good keeper of the law, and I've been faithful to the law, so I'm okay. Paul says, I realized, actually, I wasn't okay. Specifically, the command not to covet. I realized that I wasn't obeying God's law. And all it takes, James says, you remember, is for someone to offend in one point, and he's guilty of all. So here it is. I mean, I may be able to keep certain laws, but can I keep from even desiring sin? Not even to covet. And Paul says, as a result of that, I realized that I was in trouble. Verse 24 of chapter 7. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Basic translation of verse 24. I'm in big trouble. Really big trouble. Verse 25, here's the solution. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is therefore, chapter 8, verse 1, now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. I want to conclude with just two challenges. On the one hand, this. If you're here tonight and you're not in the category of those who are in Christ Jesus, you're in trouble. I mean, very simply, you're standing before God on your own. It's just you. You alone with God. There you are. And if you know yourself, you know that you have sinned over and over again. I mean, I hear people sometimes say to me, when I'll talk to them about the gospel, I'll say, well, I think I'm okay because I've never killed anybody, and I've been faithful to my wife, and then I try to get to church from time to time, and I do this or that thing. I help out at such and such a community thing, and so I feel like I'm okay. Basically, what that person is saying is, here's my standard of the law. I have decided, as long as I don't do these things, and I do these things, I should be okay with God. And the truth of Scripture is, it doesn't work that way. Amen. I mean, maybe you wish, but it's not your right to decide, here's the penalties, here's the things I can't do, here's the things I can do, and then it'll be okay. God decides. And as chapter 7 says, His decision is that everyone has failed Him over and over again. And it's not just a matter of trying to do a little bit better than you're bad. You know, if you're good at ways, you're bad. God decides the system. And the system is, you're in trouble. Now, as you stand before God tonight, you are condemned. Maybe you haven't felt that way until now. Maybe you don't feel that way now. But the truth is, you're condemned before God. And the other great truth is that you can be free. You can be free from all that condemnation tonight. You can leave here tonight totally clean. And if you will trust in Jesus Christ, be united in Him to be in Christ Jesus, you can be free. But if you're here tonight knowing Christ, I just want to challenge us. Are we relating to God in the confidence that we ought to have based on Scripture? Here's the reality. Sometimes you and I probably come before God. I know this is true for me. I come before God and I'm looking backwards. And I'm saying, you know what? I failed Him in this way and in that way and maybe 99 other ways. And so here are the ways I've failed. And then do I have confidence to come before God? Well, somehow I feel like I haven't done enough. Or because I failed, God's sitting there looking at all that and saying, how dare you come before me? And in my heart then, I'm building up this cloud of some kind of sense of something's wrong between me and God. And the truth of Scripture is, if I ask God to forgive me, if I turn from my sin, there is now no condemnation. I'm in Christ. I should be as confident coming before God as Jesus Christ would be coming before His Father. I can go before God with no concern. I can cry out and say, Lord, I failed. You know it. No secrets. Lord, I've blown it. Forgive me. It's done. There is no condemnation. In the Christian life's not a matter of meriting God's favor. I mean, the meaning of grace is that it's not merited. The Christian life is about trusting and believing that I'm in Christ and it's done. It's settled. There's no reason any Christian should ever be walking around with a cloud over their head, feeling condemned before God. There's every reason that every Christian should be walking around rejoicing in the salvation which comes through Jesus Christ. I have kind of a strange thing about myself. I have very vivid dreams. And from time to time, those are fun. Sometimes it's like, I don't know, it's almost like watching a movie or something. It's exciting to see what's going to happen. I don't know if you have this experience. Sometimes you dream something, you wake up, and you think, I want to go back to sleep so I can finish my dream, see how this thing's going to turn out. But from time to time, I've had other kinds of dreams where I might dream about a catastrophe and something just desperately wrong will happen in my life. I might lose a loved one, or I might lose a limb, or I might be in trouble in some way that's just going to be life-changing. And all of that becomes this cloud over my head as I'm dreaming, and I'm so upset. What am I going to do, and how am I going to go forward with this or that? And it's so vivid, and then I wake up, and it takes me a little bit to think, okay, wait, all right, that person's still alive, or okay, my arm's still there, or okay, I'm not in trouble. I'm fine. I'm not going to prison, or I'm not going to whatever. It's fine. I can go forward. It was a dream. It was nothing. It's done. Tonight, if you've been walking around feeling God's condemnation over your head, you're living in a dream if you know Jesus Christ. If you would turn from whatever is in your life that gives you that sense, ask forgiveness, repent, and then go forward. There is an opportunity and every reason to go forward believing, I'm clean. And there's nothing to fear. Nothing's wrong. God has forgiven us. Jesus Christ has paid it all. It's done. It's finished. Let's go forward rejoicing and just believe this truth. There is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father,